I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, Mike, I, like the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning, I'm feeling a little fatigued. What, nine periods in the last two nights? A Stanley Cup final back-to-back? What was the NHL thinking? At least it won't end this way. The Dallas Stars, 3-2 overtime winners, double overtime. It was the dirtbag himself, Corey Perry, with the winner. Him and Joe Pavelski, real hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they've kept the Dallas Stars alive. We're going to have a game six in the Stanley Cup final because the Tampa Bay Lightning could not quite get it done on this Saturday night.
Not for lack of trying, though. Tampa played a really good game. They clearly outplayed the Stars. And this is just – I said it the last podcast. This would – like, it's going to make no sense, but this is hockey. They're – like, the Stars are missing so many players. Everyone's banged up. Sekera left, came back, left, came back. Everyone – Hudobin's face was – redder than, you know, the surface of the sun at the end of the first overtime period.
It was redder than those buffalo wings he was eating in that famous picture with the beer.
You got it. Nailed it. And they still managed to take the Tampa Bay Lightning to a game six and pull it out in double OT. It was remarkable. This game did drag a little bit at times. I'm not going to lie. After it was a bit of a come down from last game's, last night's, I guess, rip-roaring dramatic affair. But, you know, yeah. this was playoff hockey. This was guys putting their bodies on the line, and it was good to see.
Okay, where do we want to start? Good, bad, you know, horrendous
ugly
decision-making by the NHL? Where do we want to start with this?
Let's do the horrendous decision-making by the NHL first, because, oh my, like, why are we here again? Like, why are we doing this on two nights in a row in the Stanley Cup final? And what I find funny is, like, this is the 1 year that there were no arena conflicts. You know, there's no concerts, no one's doing anything, and yet they still scheduled a back-to-back, and both games went to overtime, and the second one, the most arduous one, went to double overtime. This was probably the worst-case scenario for the NHL from a logistics standpoint, and it themselves.
They got exactly what they deserved. You're right. Yes. There were no scheduling conflicts. They had nothing but time. I mean, these players have been in isolation for 9 weeks. What's one more day? And it could be, you know, it could be the decision that, you know, prevents Tampa Bay from winning this game five and actually them getting to go home earlier. But that's not neither here nor there. What happened is the NHL didn't, you know, put their players and their product first and instead put their broadcasting partner first. The broadcasting partner has NBC's, you know, the big show, Sunday Night Football, and they didn't want to obviously meddle with NBC's schedule. So instead of doing what was best for their product, they did what was best for their broadcasting partner, and they got exactly what they deserved, which was, I guess what they would have deserved was like a really anticlimactic end to the series, like four overtimes and it goes off someone's knee and they can't even celebrate the goal because they're literally that tired and they all need IVs and there's no celebration and nothing happens at the end of the game because they can't even stand anymore.
That would have been the worst case. After the off that botched icing, that's what you're talking about right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like no one can even think anymore because everybody's just too tired. But I guess they got away with it because they're going to get what should be a proper ending, or at least, you know, an opportunity to have your product, you know, showcased in the way it should be, like championship moments. Like, yeah, we love how hockey can go to two overtimes and they can be dead tired and all that. And like, that's a bit of a charming thing about hockey. But if you're having a championship moment as a league, you should put your players in the best possible position to perform. And the NHL simply didn't do that tonight, obviously.
No, they didn't. And what's funny is, like, yeah, they did it to appease their broadcasting partner because they didn't want to conflict with Sunday Night Football. Okay, cool. Now they're going to be conflicting with Monday Night Football. And
yeah,
it's not just any Monday Night Football game. It's probably the most anticipated Monday Night Football game in as far as I can remember, because it's Chiefs and Ravens.
That's actually hilarious because every Monday Night Football game normally sucks. Like it normally does suck. I don't think I've ever seen the best game of the week be the Monday Night game in like years. Like it used to be pretty big, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
It used to have that like pedigree of like the big game of the week. But now it's just like that extra day that ESPN, you know, just tries to get every team through. But the fact that they have Ravens and Chiefs is that Sunday night caliber. It's happening on Monday night when the Stanley Cup final potentially could be awarded, which is pretty hilarious.
That's insane. The entire point of them doing this, of putting these players through hell, through this grueling seven stages of hell they've just been through, it was to avoid the NFL, was to make sure there wasn't a conflict. And now they're going to be going up in exact, like, it's, they're not just going to conflict. Their games start at the same time now. Like, it's Monday at 8, and it's going to be going up against what will likely be the most watched regular season football game of the last 5 years from a ratings perspective. It could not have backfired on them harder. It's I love it. It's so funny.
It's so NHL, it hurts.
Yeah.
That's really all I can say.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to the actual happenings, I guess, in the game. I think we should start, well, Anton Khudobin kind of redeemed himself a little bit, stopped a personal three-game skid, I guess, you know, a team three-game skid. But this was all about this game was all about, and the last two games really have been all about for Dallas, their two key free agent acquisitions, Corey Perry and Joe Pavelski. They've scored the last six goals for the Stars. Obviously, the three tonight were incredibly important. Corey Perry got two of them. Jim Nill probably should have got Executive of the Year in hindsight if they didn't give out this award right before, you know, the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals, and Lou Lamoriello got it. But clearly, these are the two additions that could potentially raise or upgrade the Stars from, you know, that talented team that, you know, maybe reached its potential in the second round, the team that actually has a chance now, they're two wins away from winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Cassie Campbell said a really good, made a really good point on the post-game show where she said you have one veteran in Perry who is scrappy and he's been there and he's won. And then you have one veteran in Pavelski who's scrappy and he's been there and he's lost. And you have those two perspectives, those two perspectives in the locker room for all these young guys and all these guys who just haven't been there and haven't won before. Because you have the experience from Perry, who knows what it takes to win and who's been at the top of the mountain and can give that leadership and can give that, you know, that expertise. And then you have a guy like Pavelski, who this could be his final shot. Like, we don't know. So he has that experience of making it right to the tippy top and not being able to cross that last hump. And so he's got that hunger and he's got that drive, and players can look at him and go, we got to win it for Joe. And I think that's the perfect combination of those two veteran presence that that are talked up so much in the playoffs, where you have, you know, let's win it for Ray Bourque. You know, you have the veteran who wants to do it. And then also the guy who's been there, it's a perfect compliment. And they've backed it up. They between the two of them, they've scored the last six Stars goals. Like, between and they've come at the most timely possible moments too. Joe Pavelski's goal to tie the game was incredible. Like, it was not only was it a timely goal, obviously, but it was a really nice goal. And then Corey Perry scored possibly the most Corey Perry goal of all time. It would have been just different if he punched the puck into the net. That would have been his, or slew-footed the puck into the net. But his hands in front of the net are so deft. Yes. It's 1 a.m. Bear with me here. But his hands are so deft. And, you know, usually a lot of players, when they get that chance in front of the net, right in front of the slot, they'll put it right into the pad, or they'll instincts will kick in and they'll try and just swoop it in right away. But Perry, like, he hesitated. He tried to get the puck around Vasilevsky's glove and it worked. And it just shows, I think, those two players, they complement each other so well in the intangible side of things. And we're seeing it play, and they hung on to live another day.
That was vintage Corey Perry. You're right. I mean, that type of goal is how he, you know, that's how it used to go in for him all the time. Kind of that mix of really talented forward with grinder, not quite a power winger, but an agitator who can score goals. Like, he's been doing that for a very long time. He doesn't do that all the time for this team anymore. He's not that talented of a guy anymore, but he can play in front of the net. I mean, he is one of the most experienced guys in that area, and that experience shone through a little bit, and I think, or a lot. And I think what he also should be credited for, I think he's been the best player for them over the last two nights, which is, you know, strange because he's one of the older players and maybe one of the guys that would be laboring a little bit. But he should also get a lot of credit for turning Tyler Seguin's season around or series around a little bit. I mean, he you know, Rick Bowness brought out the blender and Seguin got demoted, I guess, to that second line with Perry. And I think the two of them have been very dangerous over the last two nights. It hasn't translated into Tyler Seguin scoring, as our account knows very well. But it's resulted in three goals for Corey Perry, who is probably the reason why the Dallas Stars are still playing, really. I mean, obviously, Pavelski has a lot to do with it as well. Both them together have been sort of the guys that have kept their season alive. It's always going to be the Ben, Seguin, Klingberg, Heiskanen show. But these two guys have sort of proven their worth. And it wasn't unanimous when Jim Nill went out and signed these guys. The Pavelski deal in particular, I mean, that was a lot of money. And I keep saying that, you know, the Ben deal will be worth it and the Pavelski deal will be worth it if they win. And I guess it would be. And it probably is worth it now. But I also was thinking, well, they're not getting any playoff revenue for this. So those are big investments. And if, you know, the return, Stanley Cup championship merch, yeah, you can make a little bit of that money and it'll all be worth it. You know, as an owner, you see your team win a Stanley Cup. All those investments are worth it, right? But if they lose, then maybe they don't feel the same way because they're actually – you know, losing money this season, like all these other teams. So big investments, big risk, you know, it's the stakes are huge for this team. They are the same way for the Lightning, but you know, these were massive additions that they made. Maybe Corey Perry didn't cost as much, but they went out and bought at last summer to improve this team. And it's worked to this point, and it might be the difference between them actually winning the Stanley Cup. It's pretty remarkable how big these next two games are. Obviously it's the Stanley Cup, but there's just a little bit more to it.
I have a real soft spot for players that get bought out and then immediately go to the cup final with a new team the next year. And it's funny because we've seen two overtime winners in back-to-back nights be scored by players like that.
True, true.
And it's there's something about having teams who give up on players eat crow the next year that I just love to see. And it was almost like that with the Sergachev goal too, with Montreal. That was the conversation that was circling around Twitter a lot during the game, was that, you know, if this score holds up, then it's going to look pretty bad in Montreal. But you're right. Corey Perry, he's probably been their best player in this series, like just bar none. And he's reignited Tyler Seguin. Seguin had, you know, we've ragged on him a lot, and I didn't even really notice him that much tonight, but it was still three assists. You know, he assisted on every single goal that the Stars scored tonight. And he's finally putting up at least the statistical numbers, maybe not the goals, but in terms of the assists, he's putting up those numbers that you want to see from a player who's making as much as Tyler Seguin is. So, good on him. It's good to see that from him. And there's, look, let's be real here. The Stars shouldn't have won this game. They shouldn't be here. The Cup should have been awarded tonight. But good, like, teams like this, they're gritty. They hang on. They fight through this. And they had every single excuse tonight to just cave. The back-to-back, the players that were injured, the, you know, their goalie was laboring. He's never played it this much before. You know, they even lost, you know, they said Sekera during the game. You know, Dickinson was laboring during the game. It was going back and forth, and yet they pulled through, and they went into double overtime, and they were able to pull it out. It's remarkable. And I think, look, we want to talk about momentum. The Stars, they just went through hell, and they walked out the other side. This, as much as I think Tampa is going to wrap it up on Monday night, there's a, like I said with last podcast, there's something in me right now that's saying, oh man, the Dallas Stars can make this really interesting.
Definitely. I mean, we're at the point now where there's no room for error, really, even for the Lightning, because if you do lose game six after blowing a chance in game five, then you're getting to the point where, you know, all that equity you built up in the series where you have the pressure off and you can play freely, that's all gone out the window. Yeah, they can still win. They still have two chances to win the Stanley Cup. But if they blow the game six opportunity, then it gets really tricky and it gets really nervy. And then you start thinking about all your past failures. And then all of a sudden Tampa Bay isn't the comfortable team, and the team that has nothing really to lose and can play freely is Dallas again. So game six is obviously massive for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, you're right, probably should have won this series already and probably are still going to win this series. They've been the better team start to finish. Well, maybe not start, because they didn't really show up for game one. Mm-hmm. But since game two, they've been the best team.
And by a lot, too.
By a large margin. Yeah. And clearly this is another example. I don't know. I wasn't following natural stat trick as closely as maybe other games, but I know that, you know, the Stars had one shot in the first overtime. So it was clearly going the way of Tampa Bay, and you know, the eye test bared that out as well. But again, you're right. It's going to get a little bit more interesting. And I understand why you have that feeling, because there's something deflating about, you know, you're looking over your, maybe you're not, you know, maybe you're not seeing the champagne get put on ice, but you know it's happening. You know the cups in the building. You know all these celebrations are planned. You probably have, you know, the nicest restaurant or party room booked out in that hotel ready to go. Like, it's hard not to think about those things. And they surely were probably thinking about it after Sergachev's goal went in. And now you got to do it all over again. And it's difficult to do that. And they're a team that, you know, while it seems like they've gotten over all these humps this year, all these past hiccups, their torment in recent seasons, their postseason failures, it looks like they've really matured beyond that affecting them. But now here's another opportunity for them to show that, because it's going to get tricky again.
Exactly. And the mental, like, it's, as much as we want to dismiss the mental aspect of the sport, it really does, it like, matter when the games are this tight and when you're going into the final stretch of your season. And I think what really was good for Dallas in this game is that it was a disappointing outcome last night, obviously. And so they were, or I guess two nights ago now, considering it's past midnight, and they were able to get right back on the ice the next day, not overthink it, not stew on it, go out and fight, and fight like an animal, kind of, like a caged animal, an animal with their back against the wall to save their season. And now the momentum's in their corner. They're flying high. They survived. They were able to get there. And now Tampa's got to stew on it a little bit. Tampa's got to, they have you know, a day and a half off now, where they can think, oh man, we dropped that game. What if we do drop this series? What, you know, what, all these little itty bitty mistakes that you make, every player makes, they kind of start seeping in. Whereas Dallas didn't have the opportunity to do that. They didn't have the opportunity to overthink this game. They just went out and they kind of played just purely on instinct, and they were able to rope-a-dope the Lightning into winning tonight. And that's great on them. But now Tampa, that doubt could potentially seep in, and those cracks could kind of form with that extra day of rest that, you know, that Dallas didn't get. And so it's the mental kind of chess game that's being played here is going to be really interesting to see, because.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, this is as open as I think the series has been since game one. Like, it, as much as Tampa is one game away from winning this thing, and they in theory should have the momentum, and in theory they should be the favorites. There, it doesn't matter if you've outplayed that team, you lost. And especially in double overtime with the players that they, with as much as these guys are playing, as much as they were throwing it out there, Hedman had a 3-minute shift at one point in this game. It was crazy. That there could be a little bit of that doubt seeping in. I wouldn't be surprised if there might be some jitters. They've blown stuff before. We've seen it. So I don't know. It's a cliche now, but it will be really interesting to see how they respond to this.
I don't know if the Dallas Stars are going to want to see another overtime, but maybe they will, because
I don't want to see another overtime.
I don't want to either, because I just want the game to be played the way it should be and officiated the way it should be, because we saw, you know, Dallas, it burned them in game four that they, you know, that they were a little bit over exuberant, I guess, in the overtime period and trying to take liberties that maybe they weren't going to get away with. But in game five here, I mean, there could have been multiple penalties called on them. Multiple opportunities for each team on the power play, and the referees didn't want to be a part of the narrative again for the second night in a row, and completely stayed out of it. Now that's fine, but this is all, it all traces back to the Corey Perry thing in game four at the end of regulation. They didn't call Braden Point for that embellishment, which he did not embellish because it was stick on balls.
Yes, which Corey hurts, Perry, by the way.
Which hurts. Then they wouldn't have gotten involved in that game, and then they wouldn't have thought, okay, we made a mistake. We got to call Jamie Benn for that. And then they wouldn't, the next game here tonight, decided, well, we can't get involved again, so we're just going to let everything go. So all this, what was really frustrating, you know, period in a bit here in this game, I found, because it wasn't the game being played as it should be. You know, we had one team that had no shots and a lot of penalties that weren't called. And it was frustrating because you're staying up all night watching a game that doesn't even look like the game you started watching. Mm-hmm. But it was all because of what happened in game four. Like, the refereeing in this series has not been good. And I'm just hoping that we get a clean game. I'd like to see the lead changes. That was fun tonight. But I don't really want to see the next one go to overtime, because I don't want it to be if that happens three games in a row, the amount of complaining over the refereeing is going to be it's going to be brutal. And I just want to avoid that. I want a clean break from this series, head into the off season on a good note.
Exactly. You don't want to be able to predict the officiating trends here, because that's when you know that it's not real. You're not actually judging the game. And we, like, everyone called it. I'm not even give us credit for this, because it was just common sense. Everyone was like, okay, after the absolute, you know, garbage pile of officiating that they had last night, now it's going to be okay. The cup's on the line. The referees don't want to be part of the narrative anymore, like you said. So they're definitely going to swallow their whistles. And you're right. There were three combined penalties in this game. And that was it. In a game that had, you know, 1.5 extra periods. Like, it's insane. It doesn't matter if you want to call everything. It doesn't matter if you want to let everything go. Consistency is key. Just call a consistent game. What applies in one game should apply in the other. There shouldn't be a sliding scale. It's a very binary, thing. You either broke the rules or you didn't. And right now, the refs, the scales are sliding all over the place. Because next game, who knows? There might be a million power plays. There might not. There likely won't be, because, you know, it's another elimination game. The refs probably thought, oh, we don't want to. But I guarantee you, it'll be pretty even on that stat sheet. It'll be, you know, 2-1 or 1-0 or something, or 1-1, because they love to keep those penalties even. And it's just unfortunate that we can predict now officiating trends, which kind of proves that you might as well just ref this game with an algorithm opposed to actually having humans there, because what's the difference? They're just gonna call it in the same trend that doesn't actually mimic what you're seeing before you.
I would have said that, you know, three penalties would have been perfect for Dallas, and maybe it would have been, but I actually thought they scored a power play goal. It was 0-2. I don't know if it happened right at the end or what happened there, but maybe I'm completely misremembering. It has been a long night. It has been a long 2 days. But they had, coming into this game, like, their top penalty killers, nowhere to be found. Everyone that's been killing penalties for them has been injured. Yeah. So if you gave the Lightning a ton of power play opportunities tonight, it would have been over. Curtains for the Stars. Mm-hmm. And they only had two opportunities themselves. But the fact that the Lightning had one power play in an elimination game, yep, that went five periods,
yep,
come on. I mean, there were some egregious ones on Lightning players, or that Lightning players got away with too. But that's ridiculous, because this is a team that was going for it. This is a team that was enterprising. This is a team that was, you know, dominant for large stretches of this game, and one power play across five periods. That doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's a shame. It's a shame that we're having to talk about this on a post-game pod when there was a double overtime game that extended the Stanley Cup Finals. It's a shame. Like, the referee should not be part of the conversation. And there's no accountability. We don't get to interview them after games. They don't have to do a two-minute report like they do in the NBA. There's no, you know, there's no statements. There's nothing. Or if there is one, it's Colin Campbell being, don't insult my boys, kind of, you know, disguised in PR kind of, you know, jargon. It is a shame.
Okay, Conn Smythe check-in. Let's close it on this. You had Hedman. I had Point, mm-hmm, last game. I guess the Stars are maybe a little bit closer to having Entry in there, but I think we probably are both leaning toward Lightning players, given that they only have to win one of the next potentially two games. What's interesting, though, is Victor Hedman's coming off maybe his worst two games of the playoffs, fresh in the mind of voters who are watching, obviously. I think most of the – I guess – all the voters historically would have been at these games, but I guess that's not possible anymore. But Victor Hedman, two rough outings.
Yes.
Might still be the lead dog, but I went with Braden Point last game. Yes, I got to stay with it, even though Nikita Kucherov was probably their best player tonight, or at least their most dangerous offensive player. I'm going to stick with Point. And he was just an edge over Hedman, who I had before. But I really think now it could just be the guy who is the hero in game in the clinching game for Tampa Bay. Like, it's that close. I wasn't willing to entertain Kucherov before because I don't think he was as good as Point. And, you know, if you're going to pick one forward, pick the one that's been better to this point. And I think that was Point, the more important player. But I think Kucherov's in it. If Kucherov scores a series clinching goal, like, he really looked like he wanted to do tonight because he was definitely going for it.
He was buzzing, man.
Then I think he could sneak in there as well. But it should be interesting because there's a lot of good candidates.
I'm going to go with Point too, but I think to spice it up a little bit, the Stars, they did win tonight. They are closer. Let's go in a hypothetical world for the Stars. Let's say they win. Who do you think – who would be your pick for the Stars, Conn Smythe winner?
It's probably got to be Khudobin still.
Really?
Khudobin was my guy coming in. I think we talked about that after game one, whether it was going to be Khudobin or Heiskanen. I don't think Heiskanen's been great, you know, for the last two series.
No.
And I don't think he's been good in this series, even though he's probably at his best tonight over the last four games.
He's just logged a lot of minutes.
Over the last two nights. Pretty impressive. Maybe I'll just give it to Corey Perry because he's just, you know, recency bias and he's just, you know, 07 Corey Perry right now.
Yeah. It's a toss-up between Pavelski and Perry for me. I think I'd give it to Pavelski as I'm going to go full hockey man here. Narrative. It's his cup. It's his first cup that he's going to win. Give it to him. You know, he signed a big money deal to go there. It was pretty risky. You know, $7 million a year for a guy. He's, what, 34 or something? It is a risky thing. And he showed up. Like, this is a veteran who showed up in the biggest moments. I was looking for a player in that, you know, they were down 2-1. The Stars were down 2-1 in the third period. And I was looking for a player to show up. And I tweeted out, you know, Tyler Seguin's played like, you know, effing horse S, you know, this series. Because you're expecting a guy like that to show up. And lo and behold, Joe Pavelski goes in with all the flair, his beautiful white stick. I love that white warrior stick that he uses. Goes in. Yeah. If the Stars do end up pulling this miracle off, because I think Dom Lecision updated his model of the, I guess, the probability of the Stars winning the series, and it went from 5% to 15% now. So it's not like they're, you know, really challenging. It's a big jump, but it's still 15%.
Still 15%.
Looks like a math test score that I would get back in the day.
Nice.
Yes. It's a shame that might be actually a little more accurate than I was hoping. But I got to go Pavelski. Just pure narrative, and also he kind of deserves it. Like, it's a toss up. No way Khudobin is it for me. He's been far and away the second best goalie in this series, and he like cost them the game last game. Like, it was
his whole body of work, though. He could win the next two himself.
No. Ah, that's true. Yeah, because we have to remember this is.
I feel like it's not finals MVP.
This is playoff MVP.
Playoff MVP. If they're gonna win, he's gonna have to be great. You assume. But I'm glad you censored yourself on Joe Pavelski, because you're only allowed to swear when you're really angry at the Maple Leafs.
Yes, and that's only one.
That's in your contract, and it's, you know, we're sticking to that.
I'm only allowed to swear when the Leafs lose to their AHL backup goalie. That's the only time. And I have to get approval from Ashley, our producer, too.
She was wise to say yes in that instance.
I think it was the break glass in case of emergency podcast. So I'm glad she let that one slide, but this doesn't warrant it. Although, if it'll motivate him like it did with the Stars owner, then who knows? Maybe I could be the catalyst behind his complete reclamation project here, a redemption story.
We could fly you out, get you in the dressing room for Game 6, because we're going to have a Game 6. Mm-hmm. The Stanley Cup Final isn't over yet. Tampa Bay Lightning have to wait at least two more nights before they can celebrate the championship that we always thought they should win. They might not win it. You know, they don't have it sewed up yet. So we'll see what happens. Game 6, Monday night. Ravens and Chiefs might be on, you know, between commercials, because that is a big game. But we'll break down the entire Game 6, and we'll talk about potential Stanley Cup celebration, or we'll preview a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, and nothing's better than that. And there won't be football on Wednesday night, so that's great for the NHL too. Mike, we'll talk Monday night.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.